Good evening, Patriots. Today is Saturday, October 16th. We've made it through another week. And our government and our times continue to be as insane as we can possibly imagine. The latest fear porn, if you haven't picked this one up, is that China's winning the fight. They're doing that. The announcement that China launched a new hypersonic new missile that circled the Earth and missed its target by 25 feet or something like that. And so the word coming out is they were stunned. They had no idea they were capable of that, which, of course, we know is garbage because we gave them all the technology to begin with. And then we have, of course, the announcement that we're losing the artificial intelligence fight with China, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I'm going to talk about all this tonight, about some of the insanity that's going on, the overdose of either fear porn or overdose of hopium, or the middle ground of zero action. So we're going to find our way through it. And in the end, I think we're going to be okay, because what's going to be with us? God's going to guide us in all this, and I think there's a pretty clear path. Before we begin tonight, MyPillow is a great company, as you know, led by Mike Lindell. He's an amazing CEO. He's a patriot. He's a Christian. And this is a company that has given tens of millions of dollars. Mike has literally given tens of millions of dollars to this country to protect liberty and to try to preserve election integrity. And that's an amazing place. So, an amazing contribution. In addition to that, he's had numerous uncounted legal battles that the left has waged on him or he's had to wage against them. And he still continues to run a company, employ people with good jobs, and create great products for us to enjoy and share. So there's really not a better mix. If you're going to spend dollars and your dollars count, and your dollars do count, use them wisely. Support MyPillow. Buy your Christmas gifts. Buy gifts for friends. Make sure you're stocked up on pillows. You're going to need them anyway. It's pillows and comforters and slippers and pajamas, flannel ones, I think. Bathrobes. All this stuff's going to be pretty important in a dark winter when we're not supposed to have power. So get yourself stocked up. And a great time to buy Christmas gifts, seriously, right now. The crazy nonsense of the world hasn't woken up yet to the fact that supply chains are broken and they're going to get worse. So get your Christmas gifts, support a great company, know that your dollars are going to liberty. So how do you do that? Go to MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Check out all the great savings on the site. If you go down to the radio listeners box on the front page of MyPillow.com, there's all sorts of great savings. Giza sheets, towel sets, my slippers, just amazing. So all great stuff. Doesn't matter what it is. Mattresses, pillowcases for kids with Bible stories. Those are good stocking stuffers. So head on over to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Get some great savings and know that your money is supporting the fight for liberty. And that's really important. And in this time of trying to keep ourselves healthy, it's another reason that I was really proud to present Expedition Coffee a couple months ago. We've continued to push it. It's a great product. It's a product designed to help keep you mentally focused, give you that boost of caffeine you need, but it's with all the other great things that are in it, it sustains you over the whole day. So I'm down to one cup a day. I've told you that. And it's the perfect coffee for me, especially a heavy duty coffee drinker. So Expedition Coffee is a great coffee to work every day, have every day. And so you can head on over to Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, or go to bardsfm.com/coffee. Click on the links there. A great product's designed to give you health, focus, and helps and mental clarity. And while you're at expeditioncoffee.com, you'll also see that there is the Health Gut Triad. And that's the complement to Expedition Coffee, which isn't. All those products are designed to heal and seal your gut to make you healthier and stronger in any environment, in particular this environment. All of this nonsense we're dealing with, ultimately, as you've heard Dr. Eric Napudi talk on the show, this all has to do with one of the critical vulnerabilities in our body is our lower intestine, small intestine, and it's a leaky gut, which is where we start to see all the problems occur. And that's where the overdose of dopamine occurs. That's where the vulnerability of our low vitamin D is. These products are designed to boost and enhance your health gut, your healthy gut, and seal your gut and make you stronger all the way through. So Expedition Coffee and the complement of the Gut Health Triad are super products. I fully support them. I use them every day. So head on over to Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, or go to bardsfm.com/coffee. Check it out. Great products, great Christmas gifts, great for daily use. So, Patriots, what I want to do tonight, I'm going to begin by reading three gabs that I wrote this last couple days. Yesterday, actually, I wrote these three gabs. I'm going to read them in order, then we're going to kind of lead off from there. So the first one I posted was yesterday. And the first one yesterday I posted is this: the dark secret that is right before us is the entire leadership of our government, corporations, education, judiciary, media, entertainment, and banking are all linked through pedophilia. Let that sink in. What would happen if everyone understood that? Would it unite the world? What would they do to keep that secret from getting out? Mass population event, mass depopulation event, the war is real. The second tweet, or second gab, in my opinion, Red October is the keystone to awakening. The awakening will now accelerate at an unprecedented speed. It will be mass viral. This will lead to a very awake and painful winter, especially Christmas. Arrests, in my opinion, are happening in stealth and have been happening, but key figures are still in place and the enemy network is still strong due to the mass of sheep that still follow the narrative. The deep state is panicked, that is obvious. The patriot good guys still need to sort out the true patriot from the fair weather patriot. In my opinion, we have now entered into the final phase of that. That means pressing people to the wall and seeing who stands. There will be shortages, blackouts, and hyperinflation. The jab will be offered and threatened with increasing pressure. Only the few that survive this temptation will be needed to topple this tyranny. But the world has to see the true patriot who will stand at any cost. My guess is we won't see any major action until April, like April 19th, the anniversary of Lexington and Concord. Just my guess. The final gab goes, in my opinion, the time of darkness in the United States will not be months, but years. The awakening of the many to realize what is happening is only the beginning. God is bringing his children back to the fold. His remnant is in place to build the bridge, but like Exodus, leaving the matrix, like leaving Egypt, is only the first step. The true reset will take years, if not decades. The mentality of thinking of me and entitlement will not disappear quickly. Only through a modern-day version of wandering in the desert will the true understanding return. The understanding that God is everything and we are nothing, and without him, we will always be lost. Repent, pray, trust in God. The journey is only beginning. So, in kind of that, more or less, kind of frames how I see the next few months and the coming few years. What I'm finding is happening right now are a number of things, and I'm just going to make some general commentary on this, and this is not directed at anybody in particular, and it's more being put out here as just a level of discernment that I think we all need to be very real about. There is a mass desire of patriots, from patriots, to hear good news. And that's a very dangerous and slippery slope in this type of war. Because when you get that sort of place, the good news is there with you all the time if you have God and a relationship with Christ. And I mean that. As I'll tell you an easy way to get good news every day, and I'll come back to what I was saying, and that's do something for somebody. Give somebody a gift. Be kind to somebody. Provide an aid to somebody that needs aid. And that's a really great way to get good news, because that's what God is asking us to do, to help one another in many capacities. But the real challenge right now is so many people are still not walking deeply with a relationship with God. They'll say, I have a relationship with God. But if you really press them, that relationship is fairly shallow. That relationship hasn't fundamentally occurred in the place with many where they have accepted Christ, they've repented, and they've gone through that process to really transform their lives and their walk. Because once you get there, over that, that's the beginning of transforming your life to something that is fearless and very secure. We are dealing right now with a period of time when this negativity and the deceptions are picking up at an exponential level. You've heard me say that I don't see that there's two paths ahead of us, but three. There's the darkest of paths, which is the evil empire and its injection. And then there's this center path, which I've loosely called MAGA, because it's Make America Great Again, but it's making it great through the reutilizing the same technologies, the same people, and just changing out a few players. But it always puts the reliance on, like, people are going to, the government, somebody up in these upper echelons is going to clear out the government. The government's corrupted to its core. There is nothing of value in our government anymore. The military has proven itself to be treasonous. And most of the institutions now, we can obviously see, are broken beyond repair. And then there is the third path, which is the most challenging of all paths and yet the most rewarding, which is a true exodus, where we make a shift to say we're not participating in this anymore. And we start working locally in our counties and our local communities to revitalize our commerce, our economics, bridging with each other, trying to build ourselves to being resourceful and independent from the main system, using what resources we have locally and the innovation that is all around us locally, and eventually linking that through a county by county model. That's the bigger vision of county by county. Okay, from a government analyst point of view, or a DOD analyst point of view, this is going to be perceived as probably one of the most radical threats to their existence, because it's not violent, but it is economically devastating to their control. And that's why I like it so much, because it's the way forward to completely rip the rug out of every one of these traitors and leave them with nothing but threats and intimidation, which aren't going to hold. So that's kind of the big picture. But the problem we're having right now is that lacking a vision of where to go, you're being surrounded, and all you have to do is go to some key accounts on Telegram or cruise around the web, and you're hearing this increased level of hopium. You kind of have these two ends. You have this, the future is nigh. So on one hand, we have everything is going to end. The Chinese are going to win. There's no hope. Or then you have the other side, which is patriots are in control, and we have to, and it's everything's going good, even though a few people are dying. So I'm going to begin with that one, because there's a real problem in the Anon community, and I'm very blunt about this, and I've run into it too many times, where this really callous comments like, well, in war, people have to die. You can find that on almost every Anon account. And that comment alone is not only despicable, it's just loaded with a lack of understanding of what war is. Mainly what that comment is showing is that people have not only never experienced war, but they probably don't know how to handle the reality of war. So I'm pushing this to you because you have to discern this for yourself. I'm giving you my opinion on these places, and I have a very low opinion of those that make that position. You don't understand. I don't think people truly understand the destruction of war until you've witnessed death, or like you've heard me say, and this is a true story, where you literally put your foot in a pile of goo that used to be a human body, or you witness the bloating and the stench of the human body. Okay. The fact of the matter is that though I have a very hard line on the injection and the vax, I wish no one the misery that's going to come from that. Unfortunately, where we have to be, it's kind of this hard love thing, is that we have our tough love thing, where we have to draw a line that emotionally we can't get engaged with them right now because there's too many people that have already made the choice or who are still making the choice to be stupid. Now, for those that are waking up and coming across to join in the position, which is, you know, I don't want to have the vax mandated, that's fine. And I hear this part again coming up through Patriots a lot of like, well, we have to honor free choice. In a technical way, that's true. But that comment is, again, asinine. It's like saying, what it is saying is this. Suicide is a choice. You're right. Suicide is a choice. But as Christians, we have an obligation to do everything we can to keep people from committing suicide and putting the barrel in their mouth and pulling the trigger. At the point when we can't control it, we have to disengage and let it happen because they are now walking a path where the only person they're ultimately going to be accountable for or accountable to is God. Now, having been through a suicide of a very close friend who I spent time in Afghanistan with, that act is unbelievably selfish and devastating. I heard people say it before until it happened in my life, and I tell you, it took me 2 to 3 months to get over the pain of that suicide. It's like something's ripped from you. It's worse than a natural death. Even an accidental death. So this sort of nonsense that's going on in the Patriot side of this hopium, it's kind of like their package is wrapped with this loose wrapper of hopium. You know, hey, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and Patriots are in control and we're seeing the arrests and this is what's going to go on. But all with this, guess what else is going on? We're going to have to suffer through some difficult times, but you know, there'll be a few people that'll die. That's war. That's nonsense. And this is where we have an obligation to keep ourselves grounded and focused, okay? And grounded and focused means you have to be real about what you're going to face, and you have to control what you can control. But in the battlefield, you're going to witness real things. And when you start to overdose yourself with this hopium nonsense, you're going to get waylaid. And the enemy, remember, this is a war of your mind. So the enemy is very aware of this. And they're very much part of trying to influence a narrative that will weaken you by thinking you're strong. Okay? A lot of these stories, it's like this thing with Nasera and Jacera. It drives me nuts. Okay? It is the worst possible concept ever to be given to humankind. Period. It is a stealth Babylon that will ultimately gut every bit of innovation and inspiration that God gave people because why? They're going to get some form of free money. And they don't understand the impact. Here's, I've said this before, because I've heard people say, well, yeah, but Nasera would be great. You know, our debt would be removed. And what does God say about debts? We have to repay each debt. Does he say that I will shower you with the silver and gold that you need to take care of the stupidness that you did by putting yourself in debt? By the way, when I say stupidness, don't think I exclude myself because I've gotten myself in debt before and I own that. Okay? So there is a retarded approach to Nasera and Jacera. Here's another one. Everyone's going to get basically it's a UBI. A universal basic income, except it's a lot bigger than a UBI. All right, so tell me who's going to come fix your toilet when it breaks. Who's going to come fix your electrical when it breaks? You think if everybody gets this, so someone's going to kind of want to come over and do a job for $50 or $250? The answer is no. Effectively, what you're going to do is you're going to see a complete shutdown of any motivation in the economy, and everyone's going to starve to death. If I was the enemy, the first thing I would do is offer that sort of program. It'd be, watch this. I'd say, give them everything they want and watch them self-destruct, and they will. That's just it. And then you're going to have the crazy type of fights. It's going to be the fights over the lack of resources when you have all the wealth in the world. Isn't that interesting? Right? You can't get a loaf of bread, but you're wealthier than anybody. So that whole concept that people are also clinging on to, which spills over into this QFS financial reset, I can name a number of people that are pushing that hard these days. And with that, there's all sorts of variations of this coming out here. Here's the fundamental thing. Ownership of your property and stewardship of your property is a very important aspect. God wants that, has offered us that. He doesn't want some sort of collectivist view. We don't need a central church like the old churches, like the old Catholic church that owns everything in the community. We each have a responsibility to steward, keyword, to steward what we have. Now, here's the great part of God's world. As we steward, we can also help raise others up. Remember what I said about you want to have some good news, go help somebody? This is a critical part of our life, is that we should be using some of our wealth or resources or whatever you have to help others. And helping others can be take infinite number of forms. And in doing so, we're helping each other raise up to be stronger in God's community. But what's not happening is we're not creating some sort of artificial welfare. And we're also being realistic. We're not painting some stupid picture of hopium that everything's going to be good, but there's just going to be a few little problems. Let's get real. We're heading into a very dark winter. If you stopped everything today and went on a full let's fix it mode, the problem is you can't fix it. We have become so dependent on foreign sources for the things that we consume and rely on. We don't have the capacity yet within our own borders like we used to have to be self-sufficient. We have been placed on a dependency even of technologies that use elements and minerals, rare earth minerals, that aren't even available in our own country. And if you could get access to them, say like in the three southern counties below me in the southern part of Oregon, which are some of the richest places, including my county plus two others, which are some of the sources of some of the greatest number of rare earth minerals in the country, all of that land is locked up into wilderness, and it would take an act of Congress to undo it. Not to mention the crazy environmentalists that'll lose their damn mind if you dare open anything to mining. So when you're hearing this sort of painted picture by patriots that is either callous to life or painting this overhope of things to come, take a step back and take a breath. Most of what you're reading in that from patriots is their own inability to deal with the reality before them. And I'm openly critical on this, because we're anybody that's putting that out there right now is doing a disservice. That's why I said I'm not pointing my finger at anybody in particular. I know that Bard's Nation is a really solid and very grounded in God part of this movement. But there's a lot of new people coming to this movement. And we have to be aware that we don't need to be painting these rosy pictures for them. This is a time right now when everybody better be anchoring down and preparing for what's to come. Because it's not going to be just a few months. And it's not going to be a single year. We're talking about a complete turning upside down and collapse of a global economic system. That doesn't get rebuilt in a few months. you'll see stimulus. You'll see moments of hope, like all things. What's going to hold this path together is our complete and total dedication to God and trust in God. And as we trust in God, we begin to build that reliance again on our communities and those that we trust in our fellowships. And with that, we start to work to help one another to raise up. It's a very important aspect here because hopium is probably, in my opinion, it's worse than the negativity. And there's a ton of it going on right now. The reason I know I can see it is you also get these narratives like, hang strong, Patriots. I'm going to be willing to bet you that 90% of the Patriots that read that are going like, who's not hanging strong? It's the guy who's writing it or girl that's writing it. Because they're the ones that are stressing out and trying to dump that on you. So discern. Discern. Now we have the other side. Okay. And I'm going to lump a bunch of things in one side, the doom side, right? And with this comes the doom with inaction. Now, I'm going to be very blunt because I respect this person a lot, but I am not pleased with the sort of information that's coming out, okay? Now, and because he wrote the article, I'm going to call it out. General Flynn put out an article today in the Western Journal. General Flynn blasts leftists, the mask of evil will often have a smile. And there's good content in what he wrote, okay? But here's the problem I have, is this quote and an ending quote. And it's this quote, ensuring that situation does not happen requires that we all go on the offensive, okay? What is it that we are supposed to do according to this? Does that mean a call to arms that we need to go rallying and starting a civil war? And again, we end up in this article and it ends with don't blindly vote for an unknown future. I'll tell you what right now, I'm probably vote because I'm going to do it. But let me put it this way. I have absolutely zero faith that my vote will make any difference because it's still a corrupt and vile system. Right? I'll vote just because I'll add to the numbers and make sure that there are at least an accountability that I voted if somebody ever bothers to do an audit. But the system is vilely corrupt. Our actions have to be focused on what we're trying to accomplish. Now, with that same kind of going further on the extreme of this are the people that are all calling for doom and gloom. Some are trying to map out the moments of revelation. Some are telling us that the earthquakes are coming and that the earth is destabilizing. I could go on a list of stuff, okay? And I ask this question whenever I read it. What are you doing that is promoting God's word? Because getting people to come to faith through a process of fear at a last minute of redemption is not what God would want, nor is it what Christ advocated. I don't care where you sit on that spectrum of revelationist or not. There's another problem with being trying to promote what is to come through revelation or through scripture, and that is you've now stepped into the world of being a prophet. And it's very clear in scripture that if the word of the prophet is wrong, their punishment is death. I'll make it even simpler. What are you doing to help promote God's kingdom by promoting the end and the end of God's kingdom? It's pretty fundamentally simple. Now, people always do this to me. Revelation doesn't represent the end. I'll tell you what, when people are new to the Bible and they don't understand the whole concept, Revelation represents a fearful end because that's how it's pitched to get people to come into the pew and to sit there and give their money to the offering plate. That's what it's about. Okay? So our obligation is to be able to embrace the many that are coming. And by the way, if you're new to this channel, I'm really happy to have you. And I think this is a good conversation for you to hear because this channel, if you're new here, I want you to hear this. You're not going to hear me go off on the crazy deep end of the end of times any more than you're going to have me run off the crazy deep end of telling you that everything's going to be okay because what we're sitting at is a choice. And we all have a choice to make. And what we're trying to understand is that everybody, to be together, our fundamental issue is to come back and to accept Christ in our life. which gives us that bridge to Father, through Christ to the Father. And when we do that, it doesn't matter where we end up. We're together, and we know that we will be with our Father in the end. It gives us strength. It gives us courage. It gives us fearlessness in this walk. So all this other stuff is noise. And what we have an obligation to do is to be tasked with focusing on what's before us, to listen to God, and to take those actions in the areas where we can do the most, I was going to say damage, which is a true statement, the most damage to the deep state, but the be most effective in our communities, okay? I want you to consider this, and this is a, it was something I was reading about, the lessons from Esther, and I absolutely loved this statement. If you don't act for the Lord, he will use another. Now think about that for a minute. That's profound. I love it. It was just something that caught my eye today. If you don't act for the Lord, he will find another. That's an absolutely true statement. So if we're sitting here and we're saying, end of the world, run, 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 it's end of the world. And the Lord's like, I need you to push forward and to preach my word. And we're like, okay, I'm going to bring everybody to you by fear. God's going to be like, well, you answered that question wrong. I hope you have a nice day. I'll see you around. I got to find somebody else because we're in a hurry here. This is a common narrative. What I want people to hear is we don't know when the end of the world is. Only God has that timing. What we have an obligation to do is to continue to deepen our relationship with the Lord. And in the same time, hold the ground, occupy the land, and expand his kingdom. So I've told you this before. If God picked up the phone to me today and he said, Scott, I'd be like, yes, God. Trust me, I'd be like on my knees like, what? Are you calling me? That sort of thing, right? But if God called me today and he said, I have something to tell you. Yes, God, what is that? My son, Christ, is going to be there in 60 minutes. I'd be like, okay. Well, I'd say, God, I'll be available in 59 minutes and 45 seconds because until that moment, I have a message to give. I have someone's life to touch. I have a land to occupy. And I don't think God would have a problem with that. He'd be like, all right, no problem. Sounds good. Thank you. Like, okay, I'll get the word out. You know, and that's how I am. And I'm not telling you to be that way, but I'm just telling you my perspective on it. The whole thing is if we're all sitting here waiting, which is a lot of the revelations. Trust me, for you are going to tell me it's not this way. You're not going to win this one with me because I grew up in a town that I told you this before, like every Sunday at high school, everybody's telling me the world is going to end. You got to come now. If you don't, it's all this fear nonsense. You got to get saved or you're going to go to hell. The end, world's going to end. It's like, whatever. Okay. So if you're going to send me emails about this or whatever, don't. Because I'm just going to like, it's going to go to the garbage. Because I've been through this. This is how I grew up. Okay. And I grew up in this distorted revival movement or it was a, this get saved movement. And it's still going on out there. And right now it's getting up on hyperdrive again because people are nervous. They're afraid of what's coming. Here's what the reality is. The world is changing. And people are trying to put the pieces together to see a logical path. Here's your logical path. Pray and get close to God. Because we don't know his plan. And what we have to do is trust in God so he'll guide us. And it's really rather profound. You know, the thing I told you very candidly that I left Bardsfest with, and this is where I get confirmation, is when I start talking to other people and they tell me the same thing. They're like, man, I left Bardsfest with the exact same feeling is this. Focus on your home and focus on your body temple. That isn't forever, but I have dedicated October and November and December and January, besides other work I'm doing, to that sort of focus where we start to get the county by county thing really lit up. We start to get people focusing locally, internally, getting ourselves healthy and strong because something's coming. I don't know what it is, We can feel it if you're honest with yourself. God's not going to reveal it. We're going to have to endure it. But I'll tell you what, if you just want to get an idea, start reading about supply chains and commodity prices and energy shortages and energy commodity prices and the food supply in China and the droughts in South America and the poor harvest of oats that happened in the poorest harvest this last year of oats, all of the farms that are being told not to produce food and being paid not to do so by our government, the hundreds of ships that are offshore in each of our ports. Okay, this is reality. And I can just use my logic and say, well, God gave me a brain and I need to use my knowledge of what I see and I need to pray on that as well. But I guarantee you, God doesn't want me sitting on my couch and holding out my hand waiting for some salvation moment or manna to fall from the sky any more than he wants me running down the street screaming, fire, fire, the world's going to end. Because what's the principal aspect that God tells us over 300 times, depending on the version of the Bible? Fear not. Fear not. So as we have no fear, we just need to enjoy this moment in time. God has given us unbelievable blessings right now if we embrace what it is. We are in an exodus. How do you think they felt, the Israelites felt when they left Egypt? You could just see it. It'd be like, you could see it. Here's the hopium peddler that would have been Moses, okay? Hey, Israelite slaves, here's the deal. Once we endure the 10th plague, and yeah, there's going to be a few people that die, and that's war, don't worry about that. And you'll probably hear a little bit of screaming and a little bit of craziness, and there'll be some ugliness because people will get some boils and be some blood in the water, be a lot of frogs around, get a little messy for a little while, but don't worry about that. But when the opportunity comes, I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have this great golf course going on over here, and we're going to have some sand forts we're going to build, and we'll do angels in the sand too, I'll tell you that. It'll be fun, and we're going to get to have this fantastic ride through the walk through the ocean. I know it sounds crazy, but whoo, it's going to be fantastic. That's the hopium peddler. It's nonsense. Here's the other side. If you leave Egypt, you're all going to die. There's no God. He's not going to be with you. The world's going to end. Give up now. It's like, all right. I mean, you have the two sides. It's like one is smoking whatever Hunter Biden smoking, and the other side is stabbing themselves in the heart with a knife. It's nuts. What is amazing about the story of Exodus is how Moses moved them to put reliance on God and trust in God when there was a lot of fear and instability. And Moses did not tell them that everything would be perfect. They just knew that they were headed towards the promised land. But the process of that is that they knew that there would be trials. It was not going to be, there was no determined point. And if you can imagine 600,000 people leaving, which I think that's what the Bible, as I remember the Bible said, leaving and then crossing the Red Sea and then going on into the desert. I mean, you don't know where you're going. And you see the breakdown. I mean, remember, they start just quarreling amongst themselves after crossing the Red Sea. Where is the milk and honey? Those are my words. Where is the land of milk and honey? Well, and then what happens when Moses goes on to Mount Sinai? They all say, screw it. We're going to go back and we're going to worship our old gods, which is Baal and the sacrifice, which they if you understand what goes on in that moment, when they talk about the golden calf, that's the worship of Baal. And what that also means is they're sacrificing their first child for good wishes, which means like putting the first child in the fire. So I'm clear about this. Okay. So the people lose their damn mind. And Moses, in his fit of rage, breaks the tablets. Okay. The process, though, of truly getting through Exodus takes years. And in the end, it takes a rebirth of the true trust in God. There was an interesting statement made about that process, which was 40 years. And it was a biblical scholar that was saying this. It's like, it's very interesting when you look at the 40 years, because that's effectively two full generations that they went through. And that's about how long it takes to shift a deep ideological belief system. And what was their belief system? Before, it was a belief system that was centered around slavery. They had to evolve to becoming understanding that they were sovereign and free under God. Well, are we any different right now? And that's where I say that let's get real and let's be those that are very grounded in our faith, and let's be those that are very grounded in our knowledge, because none of this is going to go away quickly. There is this idea that when President Trump slips in, or if he slips in, whatever, I mean, they keep saying Trump's coming back. And by the way, I have said those things, all right? I am not innocent here. I was really believing, truly did believe that we were witnessing some sort of short-term coup that was going to be taken over. And I was advocating that Trump would be back by January or even April. But as that corner turned, I really realized it's like, you know what? This is deeper and bigger than anything we've ever imagined. And the more that we've witnessed this, the more that we realize that we're at a point here, we're talking about a global ideological shift. Now, all of this said, outside of a God-level event, which I can't even imagine, but if God could change things in a heartbeat. But the question is, will he? And I have no idea. I just want to put this in perspective, though. That's a God call. I have no clue. I make no forecast on it, definitely no prophecy on it. But if we look at the history of the Bible, that doesn't happen. God gives time for people to mature and grow through the process of self-realization and sometimes suffering and pain. And that's part of a process. And we are at a point now where one of the biggest pieces we have to come back to is, as I said early on, we have to come back to the understanding that he is all things to us. Now, if everybody right now got on their knees and truly did that in their heart, I don't know what would happen. It'd be pretty fantastic. But we're not there. And we have this slow growth of this movement that's starting to realize how significant the relationship with God is. That in itself is beautiful. But when you're in that place and witnessing it, you also realize that it's going to take time. And with this, it's going to be very demanding on us, because already when people are saying, well, there's going to be consequences with the vax, they're already happening. This bioweapon is engaged. And there's layers of this operation that we can't foresee. So as we kind of close this out tonight, I want to give you just to keep this in perspective, okay? In these moments when the hopium is building and the other extreme of death and destruction is being used, it's very easy to get played by the same people. Remember, there is only one party. There's never been two. And it is very easy to get offerings from those that are wanting to get you engaged in a new version of the old system. You have to be very clear in your heart where we're going. Right now, when people don't have a deep relationship with the Lord, those offerings are going to become very enticing. And guaranteed, they're going to be based on some version of money and work. What God is asking us, in my opinion, to do right now, and it is my opinion, what I see the path ahead of us on is very much like Exodus, where we are being challenged to make a choice to trust in him fully and walk a path where we don't know the destination. But he knows, and he's leading us. And with that, we're building amazing fellowship and trust in one another, and we're seeing an evolving of what I've called and what Andrew Torba's called and what others are calling the breakaway economy. But it's bigger than the breakaway economy. It's also the breakaway and reestablishment of the true sense of the church and faith. And that's the powerful thing. God is present now, and too often we try to live into a future that we don't know or can't see. But if we trust in God, those futures are not important, because God's guiding us each and every moment, and our true trust in him takes us through the moment. Now, just a final point on this, and it was a great call. Had a couple great calls today. Later this week, by the way, we're going to be having a member of a captain, in fact, from the Chicago Fire Department. And big listeners of Bards Fest, or I'm sorry, Bards FM, and he's going to talk to about all the great things that they're doing, I mean, organizing together to come together to stand up against the vax mandates. It's a great story. I'm anxious to get that on. But on another note, tonight I got some texts from the Resistance Chicks. And what I was introduced to was a small band of patriots up in Ohio, avid listeners of the show, that are now business leaders leading their community to truly establish the breakaway economy. Patriots, my point is this is all within our reach. And the biggest thing is in that breakaway economy, what are they doing? They're putting God first on all things. So we can all do this. There's no excuses. There's no barriers. There's no reason to wonder what you need to do. Our actions are before us. The seven pillars are before us to reestablish the control of our home, of our body temple, and in moving forward, connect and build out our communities to give them resilience and strength, and always, always with God above us. When we finally understand the true sense of how this republic was designed, and I mean everybody, to appreciate what happens in the beginning, the second paragraph, the first sentence, first and second sentences of the Declaration of Independence are absolutely the most critical part of our country's foundation, because it establishes that our rights are given to us by the Creator, life, liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. That means that we have always been a theological monarchy before we've been a republic, because God and Christ Jesus have been on the throne above us from the very beginning. The question is, are we able, I'll say it this way, are we willing to make that leap as a following to do that? And I believe we have started that with Bards Nation and this remnant. And that's what we're fighting for, and that's where our eyes have to be. Eyes on the cross and eyes up at the throne. And when we do that, there's no fear. There's an amazing transformation that happens before us, and we have action before us to do. Now, let me close with what you know has become my favorite passage, and it's all relevant here tonight. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. They can go their way if that's what they choose. But I know where I am standing, and I am praying for the ancient paths. And I am praying that we see the ancient paths and that we walk in it so that we can find rest for our souls. And the beautiful statement about that is, as we walk and rely on our gifts and talents, that is where we find ourselves walking. And that's where God is speaking the loudest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this evening of coming together, of sharing this time, the fellowship, the thoughts and the processes that come into a time when there's so much difficulty in finding a path ahead within the noise. But when we step back, Lord, and we put our trust in you and our prayers with you, and we hear that powerful voice, and we accept Christ into our heart, and we repent from where we have been, Lord, in that walk, what we discover is a clean path of stability, of security, of patience, of truth, and the glory and love that only you can provide. Lord, tonight we pray for the remnant to have that continued strength, not only for ourselves, but and also as a whole, but in such a way that we can guide so many into this. We also welcome and pray for the many that are starting to come to the message and come to Christ and come to you, Lord, in whatever form they do, whether they're on this show, coming to this channel, or whether they're coming to others, but to start to hear your call, to hear your voice, and to seek out that truth that can only happen through the relationship through Christ. And Lord, we pray for those that are in darkness, that they can start to see some of that light on the hill, and be reminded of where the places they need to go so they can start walking away from where they are, leaving the matrix and joining your fold once again. Lord, we are yours. We humbly serve you. We understand that we are deeply imperfect. So we pray for our imperfections. We pray for the fallacies and trips and stumbles that we make. We pray for repentance. But in the end, Lord, understand that our hearts, as complicated as things can get, our hearts are true in our love for you. And so we're gracious for all that's given, and we're thankful for all that you have done. We say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This is a beautiful time. And it's a wonderful time to really, for us to continue to dig deep into our strength. There is so much noise, as we know. But noise is noise. As long as we keep our eyes on the cross and our eyes on the throne and all this other stuff, it's really, in a metaphor, it's very much like the crossing of the Red Sea, right? I mean, all this, you have noise on one side and noise on the other, and you know there was noise there. There's no question about it. And there we are walking that center path, the impossible path, but that's God's path, and that's what's so amazing. And that's what lies ahead is so exciting and so unlimited, but we have to keep the faith, and we also have to understand, like those in Exodus, that it may not happen in our lifetime. But that unwavering walk is what we have to do to ensure that that pathway continues to be blazed, we continue to build, and that sets the foundation for the many generations yet to come. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. So keep our prayers strong. Keep your faith strong. Know that you're standing on that rock that God built. God will never forsake us. The only challenge we ever have is that we doubt God, and we can't doubt God. And through our relationship with Christ, we should never doubt God. Through Christ to the Father. And that's what allows us to become right and pure again, to be able to reach the Father. It's time, too, that, I mean, as you've heard me say, there are moments that we need to repent. And I think in times that we repent daily. Not because we have a laundry list of burdens, and then repenting isn't about beating yourself over the back with razor chains or something. Repenting is being honest in your heart to God, to admit to the things that we know that we did, and to be open to the lessons that God will give us to grow even more. And with that, we get stronger, because that's what God wants. God wants us to be strong in this world. God wants us to be better in this world. And as we do that and we grow stronger and more bold, it's a boldness that only comes through the grounding in that love that God can give and our love of him. And in the end, God wins. And yet, as what is so profound in this time, God could change all of this in a flash. But he's using us, working through us to reset this world, to defeat this evil, and most importantly, in my opinion, to raise up his children to be greater than they ever thought they could be. So I'll see you tomorrow night, same time for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, thank you. Good night. God bless. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through. Fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now. I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment. Been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly. sits down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.